Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents North America's Forgotten Past by W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Yasmin Toison, Thomas Keegan, Stephen Carpenter, Thomas Penny, Julie Ann Elliott, James Keegan, Dylan Lynch, David Coyne, Karen Novak, Barbara Pinolini, Michael Glenn, Tim Carlin, Jeff Allen, Elizabeth Demery, Nick DePinto, James Lewis, Eric Messner, Richard Rowan, Bruce Allen Rauscher, Christopher Graybill, Joseph Thornhill, M.B. Van Dorn, Mort Shelby, Lily Beacon, Kimberly Gilbert, Dan Stevens, Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Tim Getman, Joe Brack, and Faith Potts. Book 3, People of the Earth, Part 2.
Cold air braced Windrunner's skin. He stood naked, toes clenched as if to grip the ground through the remains of the frozen snow. The black point had formed a ring around him. Now they waited, shoulder to shoulder, dressed in finely tailored hides, while the elders had wrapped themselves in buffalo robes. He stared at the excited faces, strangers all. Then his mother's sister, two antelopes, appeared and gave him a smile. She'd been white clay before she met Stonefist during a gathering. He had won her admiration and had asked for a marriage. That marriage now worked to Windrunner's benefit. He had called out for Stonefist's protection as he approached the camp, his hands empty of weapons. After he had explained his desire to seek a place among the Black Point, his uncle-in-law had spoken for him in the council. Now, Windrunner must prove his worth. One man, the Black Point warrior whom Windrunner would have to face, stood across from him, a war club dangling from his fist. One man looked to be about 35 summers old, and he stood tall and proud. Lines of lightning had been tattooed down his cheeks, and the man's nose had been broken in a past fight. The warrior inspected Windrunner the way he would some pest. The sun's glare emphasized a nasty scar that ran across one man's muscular left breast. The stone-headed war club swung back and forth in the warrior's powerful grip. The brilliant yellow tanager feathers on the handle fluttered in the breeze. Black Moon, the nominal leader of the Black Point, stepped out from the crowd. He wore a resplendent white buffalo robe. Behind him walked Hot Fat, the Black Point's most powerful soul flyer. Hot Fat's hair glinted silver in the sun as he raised his hands. Singing and dancing, Hot Fat called to Thunderbird to give the combatants strength and skill. He sang to instill courage into the hearts of the warriors who would fight this day. Windrunner dropped his own club to the ground and lifted his hands.
Great Thunderbird above, hear me! I, Windrunner, would earn a place among this clan of the people. I have proven myself worthy. In the past, my courage has been sung over the bodies of my victims in war. My skill has been proven on the trail where I eluded the pursuers who would take my life. Hear me today! Grant me strength and triumph. To you, I will dedicate my life to become a good man among this Blackpoint clan. To you, I will humble myself and offer my life.
Windrunner lowered his hands, realizing Hot Fat had fallen silent. Now the Soul Flyer stared at him, eyes like black obsidian glinting from behind slitted eyelids.
You would humble yourself before Thunderbird. Be true to your song.
Yes, old one. A man is nothing without the gifts of power. I look around me, feel the sun on my face, hear the birds and enjoy the wind. All these things are the gifts of power and are to be cherished. They are not to be risked foolishly.
And you do not think yourself a fool to risk such things fighting one man?
No, old one. I made a promise on my soul. I do not take my soul or promises made to power lightly. Young men have a reputation for doing foolish things. Those who do rarely live to provide strong arms for their people.
And where did you learn so much wisdom for one so young?
Windrunner pointed to the south.
There, old one. Just over the ridges. The leaders who remain among the White Clay argued among themselves, and the eager young men split the clan into three parts. Black Eagle took one group and went east, and we have heard nothing from him since. Grey Thunder took another group west, and his voice is also silent. I followed Whistling Hair because Sage Ghost, my uncle, said that old Whistling Hair and old Falcon were wiser than the young men who would go fight a war they could not win.
Hot Fat gestured to the east and west.
Most of those you speak of have been killed. What few remained ran far to the east, and we know nothing of what happened to them out on the short grass plains. But the buffalo people are known to be mighty warriors. Now tell me, do I hear your words correctly? You would not engage in warfare? You would not follow the ways of our ancestors and fight to keep your strength?
Windrunner made the sign of negation.
Most respected old one, I do not speak clearly. The best battles are the ones a warrior survives. A warrior's duty is to protect his people. The finest warrior is he who knows when to attack and when to avoid a fight. In war, courage is necessary, but even a fool can have courage. That only makes him a courageous fool. A warrior who would lead must have courage, but he must also have prudence. Courage and prudence must be balanced, one against the other.
Hot Fat studied Windrunner through gleaming eyes, then laid a hand on his shoulder.
Good luck, young man. Your fate is in the hands of the sun.
Thank you, old one.
Windrunner bent and picked up his club. Hot Fat returned to stand beside the Black Point leader. Black Moon looked back and forth between the warriors. Then he nodded his head.
Yeah!
One man immediately charged forward. Windrunner ducked, parrying the blow of one man's swing. One man jumped nimbly aside, checking his grip on the war club. Windrunner circled carefully as he balanced on the balls of his feet. One man stood half a head taller than he. Thick and powerful muscles packed his shoulders. The cold reality settled in. Within seconds, Windrunner could be lying on the grass, his blood and brains leaking through a cracked skull.
You came here to die, White Clay.
I came here to live.
Windrunner whirled, fainted, and swung the club in a backhand toward his adversary's skull. The blow slipped through empty air, and Windrunner used his momentum to escape the vicious swing one man countered with. He'd barely recovered when one man leaped like a striking cougar. In desperation, Windrunner rammed the bigger man. He locked with one man, knowing full well that in a match of brute strength, he'd lose. He crammed the handle of his war club into one man's rock-hard stomach. A heel locked behind his as one man tripped him. Windrunner hit the ground rolling and threw himself to one side as one man's club thopped into the frozen earth beside his head. Windrunner rolled back on his shoulders, kicking out with his heels to smash one man full in the face. Windrunner scrambled to his feet. One man shook his head, as if to clear his vision, and stared at his hand. The hafting of the Blackpoint Warriors' war club had broken on impact with the frozen ground. Windrunner put his hand up.
Wait!
One man advanced, wary, hands reaching out.
Wait! If I kill one man, the Blackpoint will lose a strong man, a good man.
Black Moon stepped between them, giving Windrunner a narrow stare.
What are you saying?
Windrunner didn't drop his eyes from one man who stood poised and ready. Blood leaked from the Blackpoint warrior's nose.
Only this. If I kill one man with my club, I will have won. And one man, he'll lie dead, and his wives and children will mourn and cry.
Taking a deadly gamble, Windrunner dropped his club. He stepped forward and extended his hand to one man.
If I'm accepted among the Blackpoint, I would wish to be accepted as one man's friend. Not as the warrior who widowed his wife and took his children's father.
One man licked his bloody lips and glanced at Black Moon.
Have I proved my courage to you, one man? Have I fought you honestly and with courage?
One man nodded, despite the confusion in his eyes.
You fight well, Windrunner. But it isn't decided between us. I'm not beaten.
No, you're not. But if I did beat you, you'd be shamed. The resentment would fester like a cactus thorn under the skin. The bad feelings would never be finished between us, would they? I'd have to kill you, or you me. And the Black Point would be less one warrior either way.
Black Moon chewed at his lower lip as he considered. Hot fat hobbled up on his old joints. The clan leader looked at the Soul Flyer.
What of the power? Can we do this?
Hot Fat glanced at one man and Windrunner.
The reason for the challenge is to determine an individual's worth, not for the idle shedding of blood. In the beginning, the challenge was made to ensure that a clan took in only those worthy to belong, to ensure that we didn't accept cowards or fools who would weaken our blood. As humans, we have to be careful not to bend the ways of power to our own ends. We must look beyond, to the true meaning and purpose of the things we do. Do we serve the ways of power, or do we simply seek to entertain ourselves in the name of power? How do you speak, one man? You fought him. Do you think his arm is strong enough, his heart courageous enough, to defend your family?
Windrunner met the warrior's measuring stare. One man nodded slowly.
I'd take him on a raid. I think I'd listen to his counsel, too.
Images lurked in the back of Windrunner's mind. Images of a camp just upriver. On that warm summer day, he remembered, the warriors who stood around him now had run screaming and killing through the lodges of the white clay. The haunting eyes of the dead watched. Black Moon raised his hands.
Then I declare this contest over. Windrunner has earned a place among the Black Point. He has done so through courage and cunning.
Windrunner offered his hand to one man again. The big warrior took it, a grin barely touching his lips.
I'd still have killed you, you know.
Perhaps, but isn't it better this way?
One man daubed at his nose.
I'm gonna have to think about it. You fought well. So well that it's better that you fight with us than against us.
Hot Fat placed a hand on Windrunner's shoulder.
Come. Everyone is going to want to talk about you and what you've done today. My granddaughter, Aspen, will have my meal cooked soon. Her cooking is wonderful, even if she drives most men to the end of their wits with her ways. Join me. We will talk.
Windrunner smiled weakly and followed the old man. He could feel the eyes of his white clay dead upon him, their stares burning into his soul.
I had no choice. Would they believe that?
Bad Belly squinted and shaded his eyes against the sun as he looked out over the valley. Hardly willing to believe, they walked through a real, honest, warm day. To the south, the snow-capped heights of the Sideways Mountains gleamed so bright it hurt to look at them. The valley below had melted into a sticky quagmire of gray-brown mud. Water ran opaque with silt, rippling like flexed muscles, as if it had absorbed the strength of the land while it surged in the drainages. The endless dome of the sky seemed to glow with new life, and the sun actually beat down hot upon his body. Two eagles circled in aerial dance over the valley. The sage-rich hillsides appeared fertile for once. The blue-green leaves had renewed themselves with the sun's wealth. Now the pungent scent of sage recharged his senses. They walked along the southern exposure, high enough on the hillside to avoid most of the mud. Nevertheless, their feet sank into the cushion of loose soil, sometimes sliding on the slick ooze that lay underneath the friable crust. Bad Belly hummed happily to himself. Trouble charged this way and that, sniffing in holes, occasionally stopping short under Bad Belly's feet to stare around. White Ash walked behind him, following the route he picked through the sage and bitterbrush.
How are the sandals holding up?
Bad Belly took a quick look, trying to decide where the sandals ended and the mud began.
So far, so good. That three times cursed cactus sure goes through them, though. They're worse than moccasins.
You surprised me. I wouldn't have thought to weave juniper bark, sage, and yucca into footwear.
The trader Left Hand told me about it. He said that people in the basin country do it this way. You see, all they have down there are antelope and deer. Almost no buffalo or elk, and only mountain sheep up in the hills. Hides are always in short supply and precious to them. Left Hand says they'll trade a lot of things for good buffalo hide moccasins.
Bad Belly hadn't figured out what to do about his legs yet, however. The sagebrush had scratched his calves half-bloody. He pulled up, re-hitching the bark basket he'd woven to carry the fish they'd smoked and dried.
You think we're on the right trail?
White Ash gave him a nervous glance.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I hate going east. Too close to the wolf people. I just...
She shook her head, lifting slim hands to rub at her temples.
I'm sorry I made you do this. But that terrible dream I had last night at the hot springs was so... so ominous. Dangerous. We had to leave. In the dream, I saw warriors coming. People I couldn't recognize. Hundreds of them streaming down from the north. They carried bloody darts, and behind them, hunger and pain and frozen death.
Sun people?
I couldn't tell. They held long stone knives up to the sun. And the feathers! They wore them in their hair and on their shoulders. Feathers of all the colors of the rainbow. The voice in the dream said we had to leave, to flee east, to find some power bundle.
Bad Belly scratched under his chin, resettling his grip on the fish basket.
Maybe you are the dreamer.
She arched an eyebrow.
Well, I'm a witch-cursed poor one, then.
They camped that night in a stand of junipers. Bad Belly spent the twilight hours stripping bark from the trees. That done, he rubbed the long strands between his palm and thigh to make the tough strands pliable. The strands, bristling with scratchy fibers, he wove into a cloak. White Ash picked at the remains of a smoked fish, stopping every now and then to spit one of the fine bones into the fire. Bad Belly paused to enjoy the way the fire illuminated her features. Her bruises were much better now. If only he could soothe the sadness in her eyes. At moments like this, when she got lost in her head, the haunted look would come.
Why did you stay with me?
She chewed the last of the flaky meat from the fish's skeleton and flipped the remains into the fire, then rubbed her hands on the leather of his leggings. She crossed her arms and leaned forward to peer intently into the fire.
I guess because I needed someone. Imagine how you'd feel if one day everything you'd ever loved was gone. Imagine if nothing remained for you. No safety anywhere. What would you do if your life had been stripped bare and the pieces of it burned and scattered? I had no place to go.
You told me about Three Forks. You could go back there. A green fire would make a place for you.
That's not my place anymore, Bad Belly. When I was a girl, I hated it there. Do you know how Three Forks feels about power? About people who dream? People who hear voices like we do make them nervous. Greenfire's father was witched once, or she thought he was. She didn't want me growing up to dream. I don't want to go back.
Greenfire's still raising a fuss about witching. She thinks witching killed her husband. She even thought you were witched away. Or so my grandmother Larkspur says.
Maybe I was. I'll ask Sage Ghost, if I ever see him again. He'll laugh about it.
But Three Forks has to keep the spirits happy too. If they didn't, the grass wouldn't come up, the nut harvest would go bad. The way the earth people think, spirits are responsible for everything.
Even witching. Greenfire has made a place for herself between the people and the spirits. She deals with the spirits, but resentfully, fearfully. She likes to control that power so it can't be used against her. Anything else is a threat. That's the reason I can't go back. I can't hide the dreams. I couldn't as a little girl, and I don't think I can now.
She stared into the fire, seeing beyond the flames.
That's why I came with you. I don't have any place to go. And had I gone off alone, I'd have had only myself for company. I don't like myself very much anymore. I'm not worth it.
Her mouth worked as she turned her head away. Bad Belly took a branch from the pile she'd collected and dropped it on the fire.
You ought to like yourself. You're strong, healthy, and most of all, you're smart. You can do anything you want to.
Like being the mother of the people? Whatever that means. I'm not sure I want any part of it. I just want to try and find the torn pieces of my life and sew them together again. Maybe run off and live in a cave like the healers among the Earth people do. If they think I'm living with power, perhaps they'll leave me be.
Maybe that is what you need to do. Left Hand told me that power has its own ways.
Bad Belly inhaled a deep draft of the sweet-scented junipers. The chill was deepening. He could already see his breath when he turned away from the fire.
I guess we'll get a hard frost tonight.
White Ash twisted a strand of hair around her finger as she stared up at the night sky, shot through with an infinity of stars.
You'll be cold, won't you?
If I get cold, I'll throw another chunk of sagebrush on the fire and roll over so the cold side gets warm. I'll just hug Trouble close and share his warmth. He's got a good coat.
He smiled at his dog, who lay sleeping with his nose buried in his tail.
Why haven't you tried to take me?
Huh?
Why haven't you tried? I've seen the look in your eyes. You watch my body, and you turn away. You want me. I can see it in you, in the way you look at me. But you never come over in the night, never ask me to spread my legs for you. Why?
Does it bother you that I look at you?
Yes. Are all men the same? Why can't you ignore me?
Bad Belly rubbed the back of his neck, shifting uncomfortably.
You're a beautiful woman. I can't deny that. You listen when I talk about things. You think about them and discuss them with me. Only two other people have ever done that in my whole life. At the same time, I know what you feel. I'll never let myself even be tempted.
How do you know what I feel?
How do I tell her? How can I talk about it with someone who's almost a stranger? I was married once. Her name was Golden Flax. Her father had taken her, raped her, when she was a little girl. No one wanted her. No one wanted me. We didn't really want each other. But that's what the clans decided was good for us. What her father did ruined her life. It made her different, and it wasn't her fault. People avoided her as if she carried a malignant spirit on her shoulder. We coupled only once, and she threw up. Maybe what happened to you left the same kind of scars in your memory.
White Ash's stare had turned glassy, a near panic on her face. Bad Belly lifted his arm, gesturing with a knotted fist.
I don't want to take you, don't you understand? I know how you cry in your sleep. You relive what happened with Three Bulls every time you close your eyes. You've been hurt too much. I've worked hard just to get you to smile without that snake look in your eyes. I don't want to lose that.
Her miserable expression turned his stomach.
I'll never let another man touch me that way.
I don't want to.
But I see the way you look at me.
Well, you're very good to look at. But I'll never touch you. Not in the way a man touches a woman.
Then why do you stay with me?
You talk to me. You don't treat me like a fool. You accept me for who I am and what I am.
And you don't want to take me under the robes. Not even a little.
Well, I may be peculiar in my own way, but I'm not dead. At the same time, I'd be afraid to try.
Why?
He hated the panicked look he knew covered his face.
Women aren't interested in me. Face it, I'm a homely man. What woman would want to touch a man with a shriveled arm? And the only time I tried to lie with Golden Flax under the robes, she got sick.
He shook his head and threw a pleading look at the stars.
I listened to the other men brag about what they can do with their women. I might not be good under the robes, probably wouldn't be, actually. So, why find out what I suspect is true?
He rubbed his face with a nervous hand.
I embarrass myself enough as it is.
Her flinty features didn't change.
Then let's keep it that way.
He nodded, a little relieved.
Maybe that's why we're together. Maybe I can help you forget what happened with Three Bulls.
I'll never forget.
Bad Belly sucked at his lip, staring into the fire. What could he say now? She closed her eyes, hands knotted into fists.
You know, I killed him with a chopper I'd made. He'd gone to sleep. I picked up the rock and smashed it down on the bridge of his nose and blinded him first. I think I stunned him with that blow. Then I hammered and hammered until I chopped his face right off.
She began to shake.
I just couldn't stop. I kept hacking at him, trying to kill it all. Like I could drive what happened out of my soul by butchering him. I couldn't control myself. I pounded and pounded at him, hammering that chopper into his body.
Bad Belly cautiously reached his good arm around her.
Shh. You're all right now.
That's why I ran. I ran and ran, and now I wonder if I wasn't just running from myself.
He held her, pressing his cheek to her hair.
Looking back now, would you have done it any differently?
No.
Then you did the right thing.
She shook her head, hair sliding along his cheek.
I just couldn't stand anymore. Everything was dead. Bright Moon died. We were starving, hunted, and killed. I had to look into Sage Ghost's eyes when I told him that the only woman he'd ever loved was dead. The man I loved ran off to the Black Point to get himself killed. I found Old Falcon's body. Brave Man murdered him. I know it. Then the attack came. I just ran and tried to stay alive. Then to be captured like that, raped, beaten, and raped again.
She huddled in on herself, shivering.
And the dreams don't leave me any peace. I don't understand the things First Man says to me.
What does he say?
Things about being reborn, about leading the people and making a new way. Strange things about the Sun People and the way they have to be prepared for something that's going to happen in the future.
He comes out of fire.
She shifted to stare up at him.
How do you know that?
I had a dream once, out in the Wind Basin when I was traveling with Left Hand. A First Man told me that the Sun People were like a tree, that the right kind of roots had to be planted so the tree would grow in a certain way. Then he changed from a man of fire to a wolf to a flaming bird. When the bird flew away, the thunder was so loud it woke Left Hand out of a sound sleep.
White Ash's mouth dropped open.
Power sent you to me?
I guess, if you're the dreamer. I'm supposed to do something. I don't understand it yet. Something about a bundle. Maybe the one you dreamed about.
Trouble's nose and feet twitched as he chased rabbits in his sleep.
And when Trouble followed a wolf in the night, I followed him.
What does it mean?
You ask me? Bad Belly? I'm as lost and alone as you are.
She leaned her head on his shoulder, fingers weaving into his.
I don't want to be alone tonight.
I'll be just on the other side of the fire. I won't go anywhere. Even if another spirit wolf tries to lead Trouble away, I promise.
Wrapped in your juniper bark blanket.
I'll be fine. We have enough wood.
This robe is big enough for both of us.
She looked up at him, searching his eyes.
You said you wouldn't... wouldn't...
He smiled down at her, smoothing her hair with his fingers.
No. I don't need that from you. I'd better sleep over there, though. I know how it is. Golden Flax used to cry out in the night when I was next to her. She thought I was her father. You might think...
I don't want to be alone. Just be close to me tonight. I'm frightened, Bad Belly. If you're there, maybe the dreams won't come.
I don't...
Besides, you'll freeze. It'll be all right. I trust you.
Bad Belly nodded agreement. He stood and went over to ruffle Trouble's ears.
No wolves tonight. If you see any, you're on your own.
He pulled up the corner of the robe and settled next to White Ash, careful to keep his back to her.
Bad Belly?
Yes?
How did you come to be called Bad Belly?
I used to throw up every time I got hurt or scared.
What was your real name?
Stillwater.
I know how you feel. All these dreams about First Man and Thunderbird that we've been having, they make me want to throw up too. I'm scared.
So am I, White Ash.
Green Fire stood up from her place in the back of the lodge and took two hobbling steps. She hated the pain in her knees. Worse, her eyesight had grown dimmer over the last couple of years, making it difficult to see in the lodge's half-light.
Witching did that to me.
Sucking at her toothless gums, she remembered the pain that preceded the death of her last tooth. Then the root finally rotted and the tooth fell out of her mouth. Now she ate only soups with chunks of meat small enough to swallow, and gruel made of finely ground rice grass seeds and pulped roots. She stared around the lodge, barely able to make out the soot-blackened rafters where they braced on the stringers. Her back had bent with age, leaving the hide bundles that hung from the rafters beyond her reach. Once she had had her daughters hang them lower, but people bumped into them. She put a withered hand on one of the roof supports and stepped gingerly around the sandstone slab that acted as a deflector for the fire pit. She bent down, squinting at the smoldering coals. Too much ash had built up. Someone would have to clean the hearth out again. She straightened and inspected the boiling paunch. Water, boiled meat, and chopped roots. Her stomach growled for a thick steak or a juicy roast.
No wonder the witching takes to me. How can a soul stay strong and fight off such things? Person needs real food. Stuff with substance.
What's that, Grandmother?
Basket looked up from her work. She was using a block of wood to cushion her palm as she pushed a bone awl through a thickness of leather. Her swollen belly inhibited her movements and restricted her to the lodge. From the looks of it, Wolfberry had planted a large child in her granddaughter's womb.
Nothing. Talking to myself. What's that you're making?
Moccasins for Little Toe.
Can't his wife do that for him? He's married to... What's her name?
Gray Needle.
That's right. Gray Needle over at Badwater Camp. She can make his moccasins.
Basket made a suffering face.
I thought I'd give him these when we see him this summer. He's still my brother. We're close, he and I.
Close? He practically turned his back on us. He didn't trust my judgment. I could have dickered for access to hunting rights up above that camp of theirs.
You didn't want to deal with Bone Ring. At the time, you accused her of fooling around with witchcraft. After that big fight you had, you told Little Toe...
Toe ran off!
Grandmother, they loved each other.
Well, he could have fallen in love with Yellowbird instead of Gray Needle. Yellowbird gets to camp when Bone Ring dies.
Basket's face darkened, and she rolled her eyes. Greenfire ignored her, hitching across the lodge. Curses, why did her back hurt all the time and grow more crooked with age? She pushed the door flap back with a bird-like hand and stepped into the cool sunshine of day. She made a couple of tottering steps toward the sunshade before a terrible pain lanced through her chest. She caught sight of Owl Clover rushing toward her as her balance failed. Black spots formed before her eyes, and she felt her body hit the ground. Pain burned like a fiery brand in Green Fire's chest.
Green Fire!
Witched! I've been witched! It's in my chest, burning. Evil is there. I've been witched. Witched.
She fell into a gray mist, falling, falling. White Ash walked along the Bug River, listening to Sage Ghost tell the old stories. Majestic piles of cloud drifted to the east in mountainous thunderheads that gleamed white against the endless blue of the sky. A soft breeze rustled the leaves of the narrow-leaf cottonwoods growing where the Bug River rolled out of the verdant foothills to the west. Grass grew thick in the rich, black soil of the bottomlands. Sage Ghost's face lit with happiness as he told the story of Bear and Thunderbird. To emphasize his words, he gestured, and his voice rose melodiously on the summer morning. As if in reply, the birds warbled and chirped from the trees and raspberry bushes. Bright Moon shook her head.
You'll talk the girl's ear off, old man.
So?
Sage Ghost spread his arms wide to the day.
What's a child for if you can't talk its ears off? She needs to learn about Thunderbird and Bear and the power of the sun and the legends of the Sun People. It will be important someday.
She has to know, that's all. Important. Legends. Has to know. Someday.
The dreams grew disjointed, coming apart as White Ash fought to keep them. She lost her grip on the fragile filaments, almost weeping as they floated away like fall leaves on the wind. The past could live only in memories, and those carried a bittersweet character of their own. Something moved against her. Three bulls. Not again! She jerked awake in the night, forcing a knuckle into her mouth to stifle the sudden tears.
White Ash, are you all right? You jumped and cried out. It was just a dream, that's all. A dream.
Bad Belly turned to nestle against her. He patted her shoulder reassuringly.
Sleep now. Trouble will wake us up if anything happens. Sleep and don't dream. The world is better now.
White Ash could feel the chill seeping up from the ground below.
You believe that, don't you? That the world is better?
He hugged her reassuringly.
Sure I do. Power sent me to find you. You're special, White Ash. Special and wonderful.
She shifted, prodding trouble as her feet moved. The dog stood, shook, and padded up, stepping on her legs, to fall with a grunt in the hollow before her arms. Trouble tucked his nose under his tail. The animal's warmth began to soak through the robe.
Hold me.
She felt Bad Belly's arm draw tight around her.
Safe. I'm right here.
As his warmth drove away the chill, she drifted off to sleep again.
Lie still.
Brave Man opened his eyes. The image blurred, and he blinked to clear his sight. He lay on his back, staring up at fire-blackened lodge poles and a stained buffalo hide lodge cover. He could see an overcast of clouds through the smoke hole. His head ached as though someone had stabbed spears into his brain. His mouth felt oddly swollen. When he worked his tongue to swallow, it hurt. Feeling around the inside of his mouth, he discovered a gap where one of his front teeth should have been. The splintered root sliced at his tongue. When he tried to sit up, white agony lanced his body. He blinked again, breathing deeply to ease the torture that charred his nerves.
Lie still.
The woman leaned over and placed a cool hand on his brow. He could see that she had a stately beauty. Long black hair framed her delicately boned face. She watched him with emotionless brown eyes, her mouth thin-lipped and mobile. Her brow rose smooth and high over intelligent eyes. She carried herself with a certain grace and competence, and a measured determination lay behind her neutral expression. He moved again, and the tortured flesh in his legs sparked light behind his eyes. He tried to still the urge to vomit.
Do you remember who you are?
Brave Man.
He swallowed. The stale taste of blood lay heavily on his tongue.
Do you know where you are?
He nodded weakly.
Among the broken stones. I challenged. Fought Hawksbeard.
That's right. Do you remember what happened?
I killed him.
A wry smile crossed her lips.
You did more than that. You gouged his eyes out and ripped his jaw loose from his head.
Brave Man reached up to rub his eyes. At least his arms seemed to work all right.
I'm deemed worthy of the broken stones.
Hawksbeard was our greatest warrior. It was thought that no man alive could take him in challenge. Single-handedly, he killed no less than 5 silver bears. More than 2/10 of enemy warriors fell before him.
Yes! See? We told you.
He tried to sit up again and almost toppled sideways. The woman's strong hands caught him as the world went gray. She eased him back to the robes. Sweat began to bead on Brave Man's hot face.
What's wrong with me?
One of your front teeth is gone. Your nose is broken and your knee is crushed.
He closed his eyes again to stop the lodge from spinning crazily over his head. He remembered now. Fortunately, the blow that had caught him in the mouth had lost most of its power. Brave Man had staggered back, mouth full of blood and bits of his shattered tooth. The voices had whispered, overcoming the sudden pain and disorientation. As Hawksbeard stepped forward to finish him, Brave Man spit blood and tooth fragments into the warrior's face. Then he drove his club down on the point of Hawksbeard's shoulder, breaking a collarbone. Brave Man's next blow caved in Hawksbeard's chest. The warrior hadn't been finished, however. He'd shifted the war club to his good hand, staggered, and dropped to his knees. Brave Man fell for it, stepping close, club high, when Hawksbeard delivered a side-armed blow that crippled Brave Man's knee. He grabbed a fistful of dust and sand and threw it to blind his adversary. Only a mad scramble saved his life. Despite the wretched pain, he'd crawled forward and swung the club underhanded, catching Hawksbeard in the crotch. The voices led Brave Man on, urging him to crawl over to Hawksbeard. An insane rage overpowered the pain. Brave Man discarded his club and gouged the man's eyes out, disorienting his victim with pain and horror. In a dream state, Brave Man drifted off toward the gray mist, searching for the power. In the mist, he'd heard voices. One he knew belonged to power, and the other to White Ash. Yes, she was tied to the power. Find White Ash and he'd find the key, the way to enter that golden haze that rebuffed him.
Who are you?
Pale Raven.
She reached behind her and produced a water bag.
Open your mouth. That's enough. I'll trickle a little water.
He did as she instructed, grateful for the drops that she dribbled past his swollen gums.
And this lodge? This is your lodge? Or my cousin's?
This is Hawksbeard's lodge.
Brave Man tried to think.
You were his wife?
She smiled sourly, resettling herself.
I'm no man's wife. The man you killed, Hawksbeard, made me a promise once. At the time, I was married to another man. As happens sometimes, we, Hawksbeard and I, were caught locked together like two camp dogs. He blamed it all on me. Who would the people believe? Their greatest warrior? Or a woman who'd transgressed before? My husband divorced me. No other man would have me. I bring dishonor, you see.
Why are you taking care of me?
Let's call it a twisted form of justice. Hawksbeard's wife has moved her things back to her parents' lodge and taken the children. You don't need to worry about her. She'll be married again within a couple of months. She's too much of a pampered prize for the men to leave running loose for long. Meanwhile, as is custom, you've won everything else that belonged to Hawksbeard. His lodge, his weapons, and other possessions.
And you?
She studied him.
I've told you about myself. Why would you want me?
He started to smile.
You're a beautiful woman. You're practical and cunning.
He tried to shift his position and managed, despite the pain.
Oh, I think you're a strong woman. I could use you for a while.
A while?
He reached up to wipe the sweat from his forehead.
I must go south. There is a white clay woman who was taken by the wolf people when they destroyed the white clay. She's powerful. A link to making a new way.
Pale Raven steepled her fingers, frowning.
Taking me might lower your status among the Broken Stones. A new man seeking to earn
I bring my own power, woman. I need no one's approval.
He stared up at the clouds scudding past the smoke hole.
Power is stirring. It brought me here for a reason. You need only to clear your senses. Feel the spirit world. Do that, and you will know that something important is about to happen. The woman, White Ash, is the key. He who possesses her will make a new way. I will be that man.
Pale Raven ran long fingers through her shining hair.
Either the power of the sun has truly touched you, or you're a raving fool.
A fool doesn't kill the most powerful warrior among the Broken Stones.
And how are you going to go after this White Ash? How do you plan to wrest her from the wolf people? In battle?
He squinted up at the soot-stained lodge poles.
I will crush the wolf people like a brittle rabbit bone. The Broken Stones now have a more powerful warrior than Hawksbeard. I am the one.
You're quite a man. I'll be interested to see just how you go about crushing the wolf people. Sunfeathers isn't sure you'll ever walk again.
He glared at her. Pale Raven met his stare with one equally assured.
Hawksbeard left his mark on you, brave man. I watched as Sunfeather splinted your leg. I heard the bones grating, listened to you whimpering, although unconscious. I know a lot about bones and how they work. Anyone who butchers at a buffalo jump does. Hawksbeard crushed your knee, crippled you for life.
Power didn't bring me this far for no reason. The voices will tell me what to do. The dreams will come, and when I know the way, I'll lead the Broken Stones south to find White Ash. On that day, the wolf people will feel the power of the Broken Stones. On the souls of the dead, I swear it!
Basket sat across from her aunt, Owl Clover, and her mother, Starwort. Owl Clover had been Green Fire's eldest daughter. She would now become the camp's leader. In the event of Owl Clover's death, the camp would go to Starwort, since Owl Clover had no other female heirs except the vanished White Ash. Then, finally, it would go to Basket upon Starwort's death. Basket studied the interior of the lodge. She equated this place with Green Fire's power, but now the lodge looked different, felt different. Green Fire's possessions were gone, burned lest the witching have left some malevolent presence in the articles. The niches dug into the bench that ran around the inside of the lodge gaped empty. Owl Clover would place her own bundles in them as soon as she had time. Burned lest the witching still be present. How does a clan leader fight witching? How do you purify a camp? The child shifted inside, and Basket rubbed her swollen belly uneasily. The baby would come soon now. Maybe another daughter to strengthen her line. Basket thought of these things while the two older women engaged in an animated discussion. A mistake in planning could lead to starvation. The time had arrived to begin considering which areas had the best potential for providing food. If the same root grounds were exploited year after year, the spirits would be angered and grow no more roots there. Instead, the activities of the people had to be spread over a large area to allow the spirits of the soil and rocks to tend their plants. Basket bit her lip, frowning. Green Fire's presence hung like river mist at the top of the lodge.
Witching. Why did it have to happen here? To Green Fire, who had been the strength of Three Forks. Oh, if a witch could kill Green Fire, how can the rest of us resist?
Owl Clover had wrapped the antelope-hide cape of leadership over her broad shoulders. For the first time, she sat on the firs at the back of the lodge in the place reserved for leadership. She listened to Starwort, a hand in front of her mouth. She sat stiffly, As if she wasn't ready for the burdens or the responsibilities Green Fire wielded so artfully.
One day I will sit at the back of the lodge. The responsibility will be mine. How will that feel? Will I have the same hesitation Owl Clover seems to have?
Once, White Ash would have been in line. But White Ash disappeared, witched away by the evil spirits, or, as others said, drowned in the river. The clan searched the banks for a day's walk and found nothing, not even a piece of clothing. Still another rumor said she'd been stolen by the Sun People. The report came from a trader who passed through years ago. He told of a girl stolen from the Earth People. The time would have been about the same as White Ash's disappearance.
Which do I want to believe? Witching? Or stolen by people from the far north? If she was really captured, why didn't she ever send word?
Basket shook her head, irritated by the thoughts.
Witched. That's what I believe. Witched. Like so many of us at Three Forks.
The wind whistled eerily, as if Green Fire's ghost howled mockingly at the smoke hole. A trickle of dirt seeped down between the rafters. Owl Clover and Starwort went silent, gazes going to the rafters. Starwort shrugged.
It's just the wind. I think we should look for Shooting Star up by the spirit hole where the river runs into the mountain.
Owl Clover didn't lower her eyes, as if she hadn't heard.
A night for witches and curses.
You're still worried about what Greenfire said?
She knew witching. That's what she died saying. I've been witched. Witched.
Basket cradled her swollen belly with her arms, as if to protect herself and the vulnerable infant. Talk of witching frightened her, especially with the child so close to birth. How many stories had Green Fire told of malignancy entering a woman's vagina during pregnancy and killing the child, or seeping through a woman's womb and rotting her soul? Ever since they'd buried Green Fire, they'd all looked over their shoulders, jumping at little sounds, frightened by sudden stitches of muscle pain they would have ignored weeks ago. A black mantle had descended like ash from a forest fire. She could feel it in the air. People shifted nervously, and the spark had gone out of their conversations.
Maybe we should move the camp. Go down into Red Canyon. Maybe it's this place.
Red Canyon is colder. The snow is piling...
Hush, girl.
You were saying about the biscuit route?
Owl Clover studied the smoke hole.
Let's go up by Monster Rock. We haven't dug roots up there for 5 seasons.
It's Wolfberry. Can I come in? I need to see Owl Clover.
Come in, Wolfberry.
Owl Clover's gaze shifted to the door flap. Basket's husband ducked through, and Basket stiffened at the expression on his face. She'd seen that look before. Perhaps their marriage had been special. She knew him like she knew herself. A deep-seated fear ate at him. Owl Clover caught his unease as if it carried on the very air.
Is something wrong?
He crouched at Basket's side, elbows braced on his knees.
Someone is out there, in the night.
Owl Clover tensed, gaze darting around the secure walls, then up to the smoke hole again.
A man?
I don't know. I saw tracks a couple of days ago. Definitely those of a man.
A couple of days ago? The same day Green Fire died?
Color drained from Owl Clover's face.
It didn't seem important. I was going to tell Green Fire. I never got the chance. It was too late.
Owl Clover closed her eyes.
You think there's a man out there now? What did you see?
Wolfberry shot a quick glance at Basket.
A shadow moving through the sage. I took my darts and went to look.
It could have been an animal.
Basket's hands went protectively to her belly, and she had to stop herself from reaching down to protect her vagina, as if a hand could keep an evil spirit from slipping in there.
What man would skulk around in the sage? It must have been an animal. Maybe a badger or a bobcat. If it was a person, he'd come in, ask to be fed and tell the stories.
Maybe it was Cattail coming back. Maybe he left something, lost something in the brush and went...
He'd have come in and spent the night. Wolfberry, you say you saw tracks the day Green Fire died?
The marks were scuffed, indistinct. The stride looked right. The person, if that's what it was, avoided places where the soil or snow would take tracks.
Like a
witch. My baby is so close to coming. Please, Creator, don't let anything happen. I couldn't stand it.
Yes, like a witch. Wolfberry, you will take all the men at first light and scour every handbreadth out there. Hunt him down. If it's a witch, maybe someone we've suspected, kill him. Kill him quickly. I don't want to be next.
A terrible silence settled on the lodge. Someone they suspected? Black Hand.
Wake up! Tell them! Tell them what you saw in the dream!
Brave man retreated from his quest for the gray haze. He opened his eyes, blinked, and glanced around the dim interior of the lodge. Sunfeathers had stopped by to feed him a vile-tasting tea made from willow bark. Despite its foulness, it helped the pain. At the same time, Sunfeathers packed his wounded knee with a poultice of crushed holly grape to fight the infection. After the initial pain, Brave Man felt more comfortable.
Pale Raven, are you there?
He could hear a stirring from across the lodge, then a shuffling of hides.
What is it? Do you need to urinate again? I'll get the bag and...
No! It's the dream. I must stop them.
She sat up, reaching to prod the embers in the fire and adding cottonwood branches collected the night before. As flames rose to light the lodge, she pulled the mass of her raven hair back with slim fingers, studying him.
The dream?
Yes. A war party is leaving to raid the Black Point over on the Fat Beaver River. Flying Hawk is leading them.
I told you that last night.
Tell them not to go. It will be a disaster. The power's not right. They'll be discovered, led into a trap. Some will die. Others will be wounded. Tell them not to go.
Pale Raven cocked her head, eyes narrowing uneasily.
Very well.
Hurry!
She reached for her dress and slipped her moccasins on, wrapping a robe around her shoulders. She ducked through the flap and disappeared into the night.